business.
Stopping the use of weapons of mass destruction is a pillar of our national security. Assad regime, use them. That cannot continue.
Nancy Pelosi trying to fight off what was the loudspeaker in the background, talking about Assad and chemical weapons, and that it cannot stand basically as it is. So the U.S. going it alone, on the verge of it anyway. The president's pretty insistent that something's going to happen here with or without Congress, with or without any friends, because none of our allies are standing next to us. The French, the Brits, you name it, nobody. So it's us and us alone doing this. The U.N. Security Council, they're not in our corner either. So that's where we start once again as we kick off this week here on America Tonight. Heavy conversation about Syria and then, of course, some other things that are buzzing in our own backyards that are affecting many of us. Since all of the focus is on what's happening with Syria, a lot of other things are getting lost. Like, did you know, with just a few months left, because, hey, we're already in September. I saw Halloween decorations out. Ooh, that's scary. No pun intended. What happened to the summer? So as we get closer to counting down the end of the year, we have, our lawmakers have made 15 bills into laws. They've debated and actually had 15 bills become laws. That's it. Talk about a do-nothing Congress. Now, do I think we should have 1,001 laws on the books? No. But do I think there are a lot of things that could have been addressed and could have become laws that were helpful in America? Yes. But since we can never seem to agree in D.C., the idea of passing anything is just a laugh in the hallway, because you don't have enough votes, and then there's not enough time, and there's not enough interest. So all the interest is going to sway to Syria. So we're going to have weeks of what's going on in Syria and what's happening there and how many months are we going to be and what are we investing and all that stuff. So forget immigration reform. That's shelved once again. The hot potato that always gets passed around, talked about, and then ultimately thrown aside and still costing us a ton of money in the suburbs where you live, where I live, and where we all live in the United States. Big problems that are not being addressed at this point. And that's not the only thing. We can think of a slew of others. I have a list. Believe me, it's all over my bulletin board. And we'll do that. As we count down in the next month or so, we'll go through things that should have passed but never even made it on the radar in Washington because there were too many other things that got in the way. So Syria. Now Congress is back from vacation, and whether to strike Syria or not is ultimately what's on the agenda. The people in Washington represent us because it's we the people. So are they representing your interests? Do you think the person who represents your district is representing you, or your state is representing what you and most of the people you know think? In all the polls, there's less than 10% of America that's backing this whole Syria thing. I mean, you see, for goodness sake, the pictures of chemical weapon use, and it is foul beyond belief. There are no words for that. And the red line is this red line that the president talked about, but now it's, the reality has come. And to me, I don't understand why, first of all, the chemical weapons and hitting Syria when you could have knocked out the chemical weapons, theoretically, maybe, why that didn't happen then? If we've known for 18 months, oh yeah, we have intel that there's chemical weapons, chemical weapons, chemical weapons, chemical weapons. Well, why wouldn't you try to get those chemical weapons sooner rather than later? That's one question. And the other question is an obvious one. So if we go it alone, the Security Council, there's no blessing from the Security Council from the UN. because they're saying they need hardcore evidence to make sure what's happened with the chemical weapons and that it was the Assad regime that did it, you know, it was his military. So if we do that, we foot the bill for it, but also we foot the bill for what? Are we helping the people? So if I'm a family scared to death that I'm going to be shot by the tanks, by the men, by chemical weapons, by the videos I've seen, by any of that, and I'm trying to desperately smuggle my family out of the country or just get out of the country or do whatever, but we can't. We're out of our house. Everything's fallen to pieces. How is the United States helping me? How are you helping me to make a better life, to get my children out of harm's way, my family out of harm's way? That's the thing of it. Then there is this other thing that's hanging in the bubble in the air. And the thing that's hanging in the bubble in the air is that now you have high-level German surveillance sources that are saying that the Syrian president, Assad, was not personally behind the attacks. He did not order the attacks. He did not ask for that to happen. It didn't call for his military to do that. So that's a dangerous thing. If there's really serious hardcore intel of that, then let's see it. Because at this point, he's blocked numerous requests from, is what he said, from military commanders to use chemical weapons against opponents in the last couple of months. So they're talking about phone calls that were intercepted, other ways to piece the puzzle together as to these chemical weapons, and was that government involved? The president is pushing Congress to approve the military action to stop the Syrian regime, is what they're saying, deter them from using chemical weapons and to degrade its ability to pursue the war against the rebels. But lots of Democrats, lots of Republicans in the House don't want another involvement in the Middle East. They don't want the potential of war, and certainly not problems from the main ally for Assad, which is Vladimir Putin and Russia, who says that any military strikes without prior UN approval would be illegal. So now you have all of that problem to boot in the middle of this. In Paris, John Kerry, the U.S. Secretary of State, said that Washington didn't want to rule out a return to the U.N. Security Council to seek backing for military strikes once the inspectors completed an on-the-ground investigation of that attack. The report is expected. So here's one thing to keep in mind. The report is expected by the end of the week, by the end of this week. So it might not be by the end of the week. It might be by the beginning of next week, but that's when they're expected to get it. François Hollande of France is under pressure to get a UN mandate for any military action in the face of the polls suggesting that 64% of his own people, the French people, oppose airstrikes. So the UE countries aren't there at this point. Should we just call this off and wait? Coming up in our re-rack, Zach Badorf, who was in Syria and spent time in Turkey, talks about what he saw and what the people have to say about the chemical weapons that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Go to the mailbag next here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With event-driven risks, such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, the metal's value will skyrocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Thanks for kicking off the week with us here on America Tonight, me, Kate Delaney. We're going to check the mail in just a second here, but first a little bit of a daily salute. A lot of times the salute goes to people that are not necessarily famous or known or any of that kind of stuff. But I think this is a pretty wild accomplishment. And, hey, she is an American. It is our U.S. Open. Serena Williams, for a little girl that grew up in Compton, California, wins her fifth U.S. Open in the world of tennis. She beats Victoria Azarenka 7-5, 6-7, 6-1 for that championship in New York. Her Grand Slam singles titles now are up to 17. That's the sixth most in history. Wow. So I'm going to say bravo and have some applause. Yes, an American. Wins the U.S. Open. Yeah, thank goodness. Sarah Palin was there in the crowd. So that's a good thing. And the men, they got to do some retooling because nobody's coming close. Novak Djokovic will take on Rafa Nadal. That will happen on Monday for the men's final. By the way. All right, so I got my running shoes on. I'm going to run down to the mailroom, and without further ado, let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Oh, thank you very much. All right, this first one comes to us from Avi, who says, "Hello, Ms. Delaney. I have to say that as somebody who was born in Israel and then came to the United States, I worry for my fellow countrymen back home with everything that's happening in our neighboring countries, especially Syria, although Iran seems to be most in our sights, It's dangerous what is happening there, especially if the United States decides to strike, or if they decide not to act. What does that mean for Israel? It is a precarious state to live in where you're just never really sure which foot is going next. It's a shame, a beautiful area, and so much history that is being buried by these ridiculous conflicts that all come back to religion. Enjoy the show. So, yes, it comes back to religion, and that's something that nobody, I don't know why that's not talked about more. You mean you're talking about thousands of years of hatred, really, between all kinds of groups. We saw that in Iraq. We see that in some of the other countries in the Middle East. And that's, yeah, that's part of the play. That's part of what's at work here. And that's what makes it so difficult. There is little, I'll say, compromise. You know, it's interesting bringing up the religious aspect in a different way. There have been a lot of reports lately, people talking about the Old Testament passages predicting the destruction of Damascus and a civil war in Egypt. And, of course, you know, what are we seeing? Some of the craziest, most dire prophecies that you ever read about are happening. And the subject is coming up in a lot of sermons by, in a lot of different Christian churches and whatnot, looking at that link between what was in the Bible and modern day events in Syria, in Egypt, and in Libya. And they believe that this is detailing a terrible event that leaves the city uninhabitable and leads to worldwide, you know, turmoil and the second coming of God. So Damascus, of course, is the Syrian capital and one of the world's oldest cities. That's what I was saying. So much history and so much is being destroyed in the middle of all of this, too, as well. But what happens there ultimately is really in the balance. It's really in the balance as to whether or not, number one, the U.S. is going alone and going to do anything, whether or not Congress, which returns with an incredible amount of, you know, very little time left and a bunch of things that have to happen. In fact, I looked this up to make sure I was right. But do you realize that there are 39 legislative days left before the end of the year to debate this whole Syria thing? So Congress overall, going through all of this, how much of anything is going to be passed? Very little. There's the Affordable Care Act. There's problems with that and the arguing over that. There's a budget, by the way. There's a budget fight that'll come up in October over the debt limit. Our debt limit is $16.7 trillion, can't be raised without congressional vote of approval. So that's huge. And there are a few other legislative agenda items that are priorities. Food stamps, energy policy is another one. Benghazi investigations, IRS, that's still there. That's still hanging in the balance. Immigration's not happening. I know they'll talk about it, but there's no way that's happening. There's not enough time for that. And now Syria is going to be the excuse of why all these other things didn't happen. All right, let's take some more mail. This one from Stan, who says, Kate, to me, the scariest thing about the whole Syria thing is, what is Iran thinking and what will they do? How will they act? Well, no way to predict that. You know, you've got a new president that is coming in to address the UN. So what's this new president going to be like, and what's he going to say in his remarks to the UN General Assembly? And are we, because we're used to Ahmadinejad's craziness of there was no ovens and in Israel and anti-Israeli rants and 9/11 conspiracies and all that other kind of stuff. So now you have Hassan Rouhani, who is the centrist cleric who was elected as Iran's new president in June. And this will really be his unveiling to the world when he speaks at the UN. So will he be somebody to have a relationship with or not? And will we negotiate, or will there still be more of this standoff with Iran? So there are back channels being explored, and there may be a thaw in the relationship with Iran, because this is a whole different thing here. Of course, you have to have the blessing of the supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei, who is the highest, people forget that, the highest ranking political figure in the Islamic Republic. And he has not been favorable before, but, you know, who knows, that could change. And Iran's currency, they've got a bunch of problems. Iran's currency is depreciating. There are inflation is high. It's 35%. They're not going to halt their uranium enrichment. And they're going to insist that it's used for generating electricity, but not to build nuclear weapons. But we don't believe that. So let's see what this new president has to say, by the way, speaking of Iran. And so, yes, of course, there is a concern about Iran. Okay, let's take this one. This one from Bobby B., who says, Kate, I hope your Eagles do well on Monday night. But I have to say my Patriots pulled it out at the end. Thank goodness. Patriots all the way. I think this year is their year to go to the Super Bowl. I hope in one of your Nail the Scores, the Patriots are a featured game. Thanks. I don't control the computer. Maybe they will be a featured game. You never know. Can we squeeze in one more? Yes, we can squeeze in one more. This comes to us from Bruce, who says, hello, America, tonight. I'm so tired of hearing about Syria. I think we're just going to blow more money. You can just add that on to the deficit, or really, I guess, since it comes from the military budget, more of those people with the Department of Justice will find themselves in deeper when there's a sequester again. They may get the most days and lose the most pay. So sadly, they'll be the ones who end up taking it in the shorts, if you know what I mean. Yeah, I think I've said on this show a couple of times, because I have three friends that work for the DOD in some fashion, and they do get the most days. And these are like the pedestrian people, so they're not like at the top levels, the highest amount of money that you can make, where it's like, you know, that's, I feel it, but it's like a drop in the bucket compared to what it would mean to somebody else. And for those somebody else's, it meant that they were losing 20% of an okay paycheck. Hang with us. I'm climbing the wall. Climb with me. Meet you on the other side.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
You've thought about it for years. Well, the time is now. You need a secret bunker, and you need it deep and strong. Atlas Survival Shelters should be your first and only choice. The experts at Atlas can help you choose a shelter that has all the comforts of your home and is 11 times stronger than square box shelters. Call Atlas at 1-855-4-BUNKERS. 1-855-4-BUNKERS. Or visit iwantthatbunker.com. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
September is National Preparedness Month. That's right. We like to call it Preptember. And there's no better place to get prepped than with emergency essentials at BePrepared.com. This month only, save 40% on our super supply of freeze-dried vegetables. That's a savings of $159. Freeze-dried pork sausage crumbles are 39% off. Regularly $39.95, now just $23.99. There's a lot more. Call emergency essentials at 800-999-1863 or visit BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Torch burning, I was a key that could use a little turning. So tired that I couldn't even sleep. So many secrets I couldn't keep. Promised myself I wouldn't weep. One more promise I couldn't keep. It seems no one can help me now. I'm in too deep. There's no.
Just last week we were talking with Zach Badorf, and remember, Zach was in Turkey, went over, was in a Syrian camp, saw so many people, as he was describing, to 1,000, close to, by his count, 11,000 people who all really were trying to get out of Syria. And of course, this was on the heels of the chemical weapons that were used on people, then ultimately the UN weapons inspectors coming over and all the things that unfolded to verify and whatnot. And he was right there in that hornet's nest and had done some incredible reporting. And we're lucky to have him back on America Tonight. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for having me on.
So when, as you collected your thoughts, because I'm sure it was just a mad scramble as everything was going on. As I mentioned, you were in the camp, then you were back in Turkey. You're doing reports. You're keeping your eyes on what's happening. You're talking to all kinds of people connected to this situation in Syria. And now as you watch this ball move forward and you see what's happening here in the U.S. with the president looking for Congress to bless this, in other words, go to war, whether it's lobbing missiles or whatever it might be, do you think, because you were there on the ground, is this fast enough to keep waiting, to wait yet another week and perhaps even a week after that, I mean, I guess something's better than nothing, but you were right there and you saw the desperation of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Is this just too slow, do you think, with what's happening here?
You know, I think it's important that the personally that the Congress get involved here. You know, they're representing the people in each of these districts. On one hand, of course, I think it's taken us 28 months to come up with some sort of action to help the Syrian people, and so of course I think that the sooner the better. But at the same hand, I think it's important that, you know, the United States realize what it's doing here, and then they sort of sign on. I felt like the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, we'd never really got behind in a meaningful way. And I think it's important that the Congress, as our elected representatives, also sign off on it. But as you mentioned, you know, it's also, you know, the Syrian people have been waiting for a very long time for our support. The real question for me is, you know, what are we hoping to achieve out of these strikes? What sort of impact will this have on the ground? And at this point, it's very unclear to me, you know, what exactly the U.S. will do and that will be meaningful in any way to bring about peace.
Yeah. One of the things that you had the chance to do in a terrific report is that you were able to talk with a Free Syrian Army Brigade commander who told you that he expects Syrian President Assad's government to go down in 2 to 3 months. First of all, how'd you land the interview and what else did he tell you?
It's funny. You show up in a place like Turkey and Syria, and then you meet new people. And I was in touch with some other journalists, and it just fell into place at the very last minute. I mean, I was in touch with a lot of different Free Syrian Army folks as well, but I finally got a commander. You know, so I think that's one of the interesting things that he said. 2 to 3 months, he expects that, you know, the regime could fall after these U.S. strikes. I think it's a little bit optimistic. You know, I respect his, you know, his views, and, you know, he's a commander, so he has some influence on how things will play out. I think the rebels will definitely make some ground, but, you know, I anticipate, sadly, that I think what's going to happen is the U.S. will make some strikes, and some rebels will make take some new areas. But then I think we'll probably let this fade into the background, and we'll let the U.S. will sail away in its ships, and then we'll just let the regime continue on doing what it's doing, which is pretty much indiscriminately bombing civilians, leaving 100,000 dead so far. It's for me, it's a kind of it's a pessimistic picture. But I guess we'll wait and see what the actual plan turns out to be.
So, and if the U.S. didn't get involved at all, what would you say would happen here?
I think, you know, that's what we've basically been doing so far, right? I mean, we've provided some arms, very minimal ones. But, you know, after the red line was crossed in June, you know, we admitted that it was crossed in June of this year, a few months ago. We basically have done nothing since then. I mean, no weapons have been received by the rebels. The U.S. has been stalling. And their concern is these Al-Qaeda-linked groups. And that's understandable. I think there are mechanisms that we can put into place to provide weapons, anti-aircraft, anti-tanks, to take out the regime's aircraft and tanks that are causing such indiscriminate losses in terms of the civilian population. I think we can figure out a system to do that. I just think there's been, you know, a lack of leadership in the United States in terms of figuring out what we actually want to achieve. How can we help the Syrian people in any, you know, concerted, strategic way?
What about the possibility of more moderates gaining power, helping them, the other alternative, the, you know, the Free Syrian Army? You're talking about those folks, as, you know, I mentioned there at the top, is that just not a realistic thing to happen? Would that make a difference? Would it be different for the people or not?
Yeah, that's an important question. You know, so this Free Syrian Army is, you know, relatively moderate, relatively secular, and there is a government in waiting that's sort of living in Turkey and preparing for things and working with local councils. But it's, you know, it's not, this is a country, you have to remember, that's sort of been living under regime control under Bashar al-Assad, and then, of course, his father, who was leading the country for about 20 years in a very repressed state. So, you know, the democracy that will develop once the government falls, and it will fall eventually, it'll probably be some sort of negotiated sit-down, whether that's a few months from now or whether that's a few years from now or a decade from now. Eventually, we're going to see the two sides sit down. Well, we're going to see multiple sides sit down at the table to sort of work out an agreement. You know, and I anticipate that the government will have, you know, espouse values of democracy and freedom of speech and these sort of things. But it's going to take, it's like forming a new government, a new mentality on how the government and play, what sort of role the government plays. And that sort of thing takes time to play out, just as you've seen in Afghanistan, for example.
Yeah. What about the people? Because you can imagine doing a talk show. Really, it's just there's so many opinions on this, and people are reading so much, reading into things and trying to figure it out. And make their own opinions on it. And there are people that say, absolutely, we got to go in there. We heard what Zach had to say. We've heard other people on the show, and we need to do something. This is genocide. This is awful. This is unbelievable that we would even allow this. Then there's other people that'll say, and as you talked about, your fear is, okay, so we throw some missiles out, we have a few good strikes, and then ultimately, that's it. The ships go away and things just resume the way they are. So there are other people that will say, why even do that if we know that's what the outcome's going to be?
Yeah. I've asked people about that as well. And they're frankly very disappointed with Americans, American government here. You know, they recognize there's a difference between the American people and the government. And you know, the concern is that it's just things are just going to continue as normal. I mean, they really want the U.S. to step up and in some concerted way. You know, one way to do that could be perhaps to take out the regime's air force. That would save a lot of lives because these aircraft are bombing into very heavily populated areas, killing a lot of civilians. So that could be helpful. I think one of the big game changers here would be if Russia stops providing arms. That's a huge problem, and it's going to take a lot of effort on behalf of the U.S. to try to convince Russia some way, somehow, to stop providing weapons. But, you know, Syrians I talked to said that they want the U.S. to get involved, and even nonviolent activists who I spoke to said it's sort of a necessary evil to make these strikes, to weaken the regime, to give the rebels a chance to take over, So I guess we'll see just how much of an effort is being done. One last point here is that, you know, in terms of the effectiveness of these strikes, we're going to see, because I've been talking to folks in Damascus as well over Skype and over phone. And, you know, what they're saying is that a lot of the forces have been moved out of the military areas. The weapons have been moved and dispersed. They're even taking junior personnel and putting them on sort of on the front lines. So it's, you know, they are preparing for this. They're going to move around their weapons so that they're the least amount of impact possible from our strikes. Sure. So, you know, it's a tough thing.
Will you go back for you? What's next for you?
Yeah, I do hope to go back. I mean, I'll be in New York for a little bit. I've got a bunch of stories to edit and go through. And I'll continue to post on the Talk Radio News .com website, you know, so there'll be more to come there, some more in-depth stories that I've been trying to work on. So they'll be coming up some more stuff there. And then I do hope to go back to the region. Unfortunately, I think this conflict is going to continue. I think it's probably going to continue for at least a few more years. I hope I'm wrong, but unfortunately, I don't see things changing all that much with U.S. military strikes.
Zach Badorf, thanks so much for coming on. Continued good luck, and we look for your stories. We'll do that at TalkRadioNewsHeSaid.com. Thanks again.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new Justin Case Pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Well, here we go again with the sharks. Two men bitten by sharks off the Florida coast. That tops we can count. Boy, I'm starting to lose count of these attacks. It was just on another sunny day, and they were knee-deep. This is what's scary to me. They were knee-deep in the water. That's it. And they were hit a couple of, feet apart and a few minutes apart. And they went into the medical center for the treatment, and this was in a place about 50 miles northeast of Orlando. It happened off New Smyrna Beach. I have been swimming in New Smyrna Beach several times. My family used to live not too far from there. It's where the Ron John store is, the big surf shop. You see the towels that say Ron John and whatever in it. And that's where that happened. So one person that was hit was in their 20s, one was in their mid-40s, one got it in the foot, the other one got it in the shin. So the number of shark bites has gone up and down in the last couple of years, but you know, if you wanted to add up how many, there were 51 attacks in 2001, They say in 2009 there were only 29. But more attacks happen off the Florida coast than anywhere else combined. And the fatality rate in the United States just is 2%. But last year someone died in Florida because of a shark bite. That was due to a shark bite that was in 2010. And they died from it, you know, a couple of years later. But I don't know. I think it's scary. It's just wild to me how people that are used to knowing that the sharks are there say, well, you know, this is, we're, you know, they're behind us usually, and that doesn't happen, and they get back on their boards and all this other stuff. When you're talking about knee-deep water, though, how do you combat that? I mean, what kind of sharks are these? That they're nipping at them, so it's... I've seen this from the air at New Smyrna Beach. When you go down that coastline, you can see the sharks that are... You see the people in a line, and then you see the sharks just beyond that, and there's schools of sharks. So, I don't know. I just don't... I don't get that. Either the people are extremely brave that are Floridians. Some of you are listening to us in Florida. I have family there, and they kind of slough it off, too. Or I'm just a chicken. And when I hear about these attacks, I think, you know, I don't know if I'd want to go in there anymore. Because we're talking about you're just waiting, and that can happen to you. All right, this is much more serious in a sense that, of course, this man was killed, and it was a terrible mishap. 107-year-old man, think about it, lives to be 107 years old, killed in a police shootout in Arkansas, and it stunned a lot of people. What happened was he was in the middle of this confrontation with the SWAT officers. They were called to a house where the suspect was. When they got there, they were trying to determine what had happened against the two people in the house. The two victims were let out of the house. When they went to a bedroom where this guy was hiding, that they were looking for, Monroe Isidore, his name was, he fired through the door. None of the police was hit by the gunfire. They retreated to what they would call a safer area and then called for more help. And then they slipped a camera into the room. They saw he had a handgun. They tried to negotiate. They broke the bedroom door and hurled in a device. He fired at them again. And what that device was, I don't know what it is. But then it, they shot and then he was killed. It's strange because you're 107 years old. In 2010, there were 53,000 people over the age of 100 in the United States. That's the census numbers. Only 8% of them were older than 104. 107 years old. That's the first thing. And then for that to happen is, what prompted all of that? And sad, unfortunately, but they couldn't talk him out of the tree, I guess. So that was, that's just a crazy thing to think of the fact that he was that old and there's only 8% of the population that old and that's what happens. But this was a sad story in Birmingham, Alabama. A lot of people listening to us here in America tonight in Alabama. The two people that were that were in that UPS cargo plane, it was crazy, that went down. The two of them were killed, and they have been ruled accidental. A lot of people were waiting to see what that was going to be ruled, because this was an Airbus A300 that slammed into an open field. It happened on August 14th. So the National Transportation Safety Board is investigating the crash still, but a preliminary investigation didn't find any kind of signs of an uncontained engine failure, or fire, or any of that kind of stuff that they normally look at, and the crew didn't report any trouble. So just the sad thing. Something must have caused that to happen, but, what was it that caused it to happen? They don't know the answer to that, and, who knows? Who knows what it was? Certainly not, you can't imagine that, yes, both of them had heart attacks or something like that. Is it something with the autopilot? Was there something they couldn't recover from? There's got to be some sort of explanation. So people who are pilots kind of look at that and say, yeah, there's more to this story, because that doesn't make any sense. So there has to be a reason why that went down. So what is, you know, ultimately, what is the reason there that happened? All right, moving along on this version of We Can Count, this story is a crazy story, and I don't get it. How other people hurt other people in insane ways. A Missouri man, a lot of people listening in Missouri, you may know this story, secretly exposed a partner, and they say maybe 300 other people, to HIV. He did not tell anyone because he said he had a fear of rejection. So police are pushing a case against this guy who tested positive in 2003 and then didn't care what happened to other people. This is in Dexter, Missouri. The police detective, Corey Mills, who filed the probable cause statement on Friday, says that more alleged victims are trying to find them who want to seek charges against this guy, David Lee Magnum. They're hoping they'll get that. He's already facing a charge accusing him of exposing one of his former live-in partners to HIV, but apparently he just decided he was going to infect anyone that he possibly could. And under Missouri law, knowingly exposing someone to HIV without their consent is a felony. That means 15 years in prison, up to 15 years, for infecting someone. Also can bring a life term as well. They set his bail at $250,000. But no matter what you do here, those people have all had their lives ripped apart. I don't think there's anything you can do that brings them back from the abyss where they now are because of what happened there. It's just the sickest, craziest thing. Well, if I told you labor participation is the lowest since 1978, would you be stunned by that? The official U.S. unemployment rate is falling, but what does that mean? That means that the people in the labor force has shrunk to a level we haven't seen. So labor force participation, the rate, the percentage of people over 16 who either have a job or who are actively searching for one, fell to 63.2% in August. The last time it was that low, 1978. Wow, 1978. So what does that mean? Well, retirement of baby boomers, fewer students who work, but lack of good jobs. We keep hearing about, oh, the jobs and more opportunities. But there's people working hard, but they're stringing jobs together. That's part of the reason why that labor force is so low and why so many people are stuck in part-time jobs that they're racking together. That's more the norm these days. Once again, thanks so much for participating, listening to this version of America Tonight. If you ever want to shoot us an email, you can do that. Go to americatonight.net, click on contact, and you're in just like that. Kate Delaney, hanging out with all of you, across America on APN.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.